I was reading in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah, I just want to read these two verses. I'm reading this from the New King James Bible. This is Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So the Lord speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, and these are words that he spoke thousands of years ago, but you know what? These are words that are still so vitally true. That's the beauty of the Word of God. Even those things that were spoken by God and were documented thousands upon thousands of years ago, from the oldest books, they're still relevant. They still bring life. And this is why the Bible says that the Bible itself is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's living. It's active. It is continually living. It has just as much life. It has life today. Even the words spoken so long ago have life today. So as God spoke through Jeremiah and spoke this to the prophet, for the people at the time, well, it still is words of power, words of life, words that he spoke even for us as we read it today. And so the Lord says that we're not supposed to, he's given us direction as to what we should glory in. And he says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the mighty man in his might, or the rich man in his riches. We're supposed to glory in the things we'll look at in just a second. But let's just kind of take that for a few seconds. I'm going to read those verses from the Amplified Bible. Again, this is Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 23. Thus says the Lord, let the wise and skillful person glory and boast, let not the wise and skillful person glory and boast in his wisdom and skill. Let not the mighty and powerful person glory and boast in his strength and power. Let the person that is rich in physical gratification and earthly wealth glory and boast in his temporal satisfactions and earthly riches. See, when you just read that in the New King James Bible, you get a feel for what he's saying. But when you see it in the Amplified, you can see it's much more universal. You can read it in the New King James, and you think, well, you know, let the wise not glory in their wisdom. Now, that's talking about some of the more learned people. That's talking about, the great minds of the world. That's not me. It's Tommy, but it's not me. You read it and it says that those that are mighty, let them not glory in their might. And you think, well, you know what? I'm not a powerful person. I don't have great power. I'm not, you know, high up in any kind of political realms. I don't get to be a decision maker in anything. So that's not talking about me either. And the rich man, well, most of us would say, well, you know, it's not the riches that I'm glorying in because I don't have that much riches. So we can read all that, and sometimes we read it and we kind of lose the importance that it's speaking to you and I because we read those things and say, well, those aren't really me. And so we kind of gloss over those things and we're looking for things that, you know, we keep looking for verses that apply to our lives at that moment. But when you're reading the Amplified Bible, you can really see what he's saying. So again, in verse number 23, let not the wise and skillful person glory and boast in the wisdom and skill. You know what? Each one of us has things that we're wise in and things that we have skill in. If you just go through school, go through high school, you're learning, you're being educated, you're developing wisdom. After you leave, if you go to college, you're developing more wisdom. You're developing a certain skill set towards whatever your chosen career might be. If you don't go to college, you go right up to the workplace. Whatever you're doing, you are developing a skill set in whatever it is that you do. Whatever your job is, whatever it is that you're doing with your life, you're developing a skill set as time goes by. You're developing wisdom and a skill set. This is talking about you and I because we can trust in ourselves. We can start to trust in our own abilities and trust in our own skills, our own wisdom, our own ability to take care of ourselves. I can take care of myself. I can take care of my family. I can take care of my future. It's easy for us to think along those lines. And when you look at the next identifier that he has in verse number 23, let not the mighty and powerful person glory and boast in his strength and his power. You know, there are those of us that feel that we have strengths in certain areas of our life. This isn't just talking about power, you know, being amongst the elite that get to be the decision makers for our country, or amongst the elite who get to be the decision makers at whatever organization you're employed at. This is talking about those who have strength. Every one of us has strengths that we rely on. There's things that make us different and set us apart. Everybody has a different set of strengths. You know what areas in your life that you feel you're strong in. And what this is saying to us is, It's easy for us as people to start relying upon ourselves and relying upon whatever our strength is. Maybe your strength is that you're good with people. You're good at just communication, communicating with people. Maybe your strength is you're an encourager. Maybe your strength is you're an organizer. Maybe your strength is you're a person that just gets things done. You could go through the entire litany of things, and you know what areas of your life you feel that you're strong at. Our tendency is to fall back on and rely upon those strengths to see us through in life. Whatever you think you're strong at, it's easy for us to trust in that strength to get us through the hard times, to get us through the difficulties, to keep moving us forward. But at the end of the day, the truth of the matter is, whatever your strength is, no matter how strong you are in that area, it's not going to see you through on all things. If you put your glory in your strength, whatever that strength might be, you're taking the trust, you're not putting the glory in the Lord. You're not relying, trusting upon Him. You're putting your trust in your own abilities. You're trusting in the natural as opposed to trusting totally upon God. One of the great detriments to our culture, and I would even say one of the great detriments to the body of Christ in this culture, is that we are very self-reliant. We don't have to rely upon God. Oh, sure, there's those things that come up in our lives where in those desperate moments, we do turn to Him. But the truth of the matter is, throughout most of the days of our lives, we can get by with our own strengths, our own abilities, what we have accomplished in life, with our strengths, with our jobs, maybe with a little assistance from family, friends, or government, but we can get through without ever having to really, truly trust upon God. So we're putting our glory in other things. Too often it's in ourselves. The body of Christ in our culture has not really had to very often trust in and rely on God. Here's a question to ask yourself. Aside from you had to trust and rely on Jesus Christ to come to a saving knowledge, to understand that you were a sinner and to understand that you needed a Savior and that Jesus was that Savior and is that Savior. You had to totally trust and rely upon Him. There was nothing that you could do to award yourself, win yourself, make yourself honorable enough to earn salvation. Nothing you could do. You had to totally trust and rely upon Jesus and the work that Jesus did and the word that explained what He did. But how many times since then have we truly had to trust in and rely upon Him in our lives? For the most part, we can get through. Now, I'm not talking about the times in desperation that you cry out to God and in your prayers, "Oh God, save me. Oh God, help me. Oh God, deliver me." I know we've all had those times, but crying out to God in desperation is not the same thing as trusting in and relying upon Him. See, I can cry out to Him, but I need to follow up that cries by looking to Him, by listening to Him, by trusting Him, by trusting His Word, by putting my hope and my trust in Him, in spite of what the circumstances look like or in spite of what I see taking place. For the most part, what we tend to do in those times of desperation is we cry out to Him in desperation, and then we go about our lives with that desperate fear. You know, we go through our day still carrying that desperate fear and wondering where God is. See, these verses that we're looking at in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, this is talking about each one of us. And if we look at that last section that he says, so he's identified, you know, those who are wise, don't trust in your wisdom. Those who are mighty, don't glory in your might. Those who are rich, here's the final part, don't glory in your riches. Here's how it says it in the Amplified Bible. Let not the person who is rich in physical gratification and in earthly wealth glory and boast in his temporal satisfactions and earthly riches. Now, obviously, we can think about money, but there's a lot of other things that we can say. It's the earthly gratifications. If I'm putting my trust and relying upon, here's how I could do that. I may not be a rich person, but I'm rich in some earthly gratifications. Look, I'm hugely wealthy in certain earthly gratifications. The first thing that comes to my mind is the wife that God gave me. You know, I'm very rich in that earthly gratification. In this physical world, I have a wife who has been 32 years a strength, a source of encouragement, a source of love, a source of wisdom, a source of just uplifting. You know, I've been blessed, and I'm very thankful for that. And that earthly gratification of having someone who is such a perfect helpmeet for me, I'm rich in that. Now, I could trust in and rely upon that. And you know what? One of the great lessons I learned from God years and years ago was I was trusting too much in my wife and my pastor. Thank God for my wife and my pastor. Thank you, Jesus, for both those individuals. But I was trusting and relying upon them more than I was trusting and relying upon God. I'd pray to God, but I went to them for wisdom, for direction, for strength, for encouragement. It's the earthly gratification. That's part of my earthly gratification. I was rich in that, and I could trust on those things. What are the things that you're rich in life? It's easy for us to fall back on those things that are tangible, those things that we can see, those things that are part of this world that we can see, touch. Our senses are aware of it. We can hear them. It's easy to fall back on those things when we need to, trusting and rely upon those unseen things, the things of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So Jesus is telling us all of these things through the prophet Jeremiah. He says, don't glory in any of those things. And all of those things are glorying in natural things. Now listen to verse number 24. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Here's what I should glory in, that I understand, that I know. You know, the word know means not just a knowledge of. Oh, I acknowledge and know that there is a God. It's much more than that. It's know as in a husband knows a wife. It's an intimate knowledge. We should glory in the fact that we have an intimate knowledge and an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, that we know him. We should glory in the fact that we understand him. If we know him, we can understand him. We understand him through the Word of God. We understand him through our time with him, through that time of prayer, through that time of listening. It's that development of the relationship. This is what we glory in. Glory in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That he understands and knows me. And what is it we know? That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. You know what? My mind, when I read anywhere in the Word of God where it says, I delight in these things, okay, that always catches my attention. Because I want to know what things delight God. I want to know what things delight him and spark delight in him. Because those are the things that I want to be a part of. Those are the things that I want to be doing. I want to be doing things that delight God, that he's delighted in me. And here he's telling us, here's what I delight in. Know who I am. Know me personally. Know me better. Know me personally. Know who I am. Know that I exercise. And let's read this from the Amplified Bible. Understands and personally. Okay. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me personally and practically. You know, those are two key words that are different words. They mean something different, but they're obviously both important. We need to know God personally, but we need to know him practically. Do we know him practically? Do you know him practically so that you can... I can know calculus. I don't. But I can know calculus. But just because I know what calculus is doesn't mean I can use it practically. You know, I can know that calculus is a form of mathematics. I can understand what it's trying to do. But if I can't practically apply it to my life, there's no value in knowing it. Well, God is saying is you need to know me, but you also need to practically know me. You need to be able to put into practice the things that I am and to put those things in practice in my life. And here's what some of those things are. He practices loving kindness, which is also mercy, judgment, which is also justice, and righteousness in the whole earth. In these things I delight, says the Lord. You know, to sum up everything this morning, I guess what I'd like to say to you is it's easy for us to get caught up in the things. And really, these two verses, what they say to me, these two verses say, it is easy for you to get caught up in the things and to put your trust in, and to put your reliance in the things that you can tangibly see, in the things that you can tangibly have, or in the things that are in you, your own strengths, even the own qualities that God gave you. You can trust and rely on those things as opposed to practically using those things because you know Jesus Christ to glorify God. Here's what we glory in. We don't glory in our own strength. We don't glory in our own abilities. We don't glory in the things that we have. We don't glory in anything other than Jesus Christ and the knowing of him, understanding and knowing him, and knowing him in a practical way so that we can take the knowledge that we have of him and put it into practice in our lives. It's the trust and the reliance upon him, not upon men, not upon yourself. Again, I would challenge us as the body of Christ in this culture. It's easy for us to put our trust and reliance on almost everything else. We give lip service to God. We give lip service in prayer. But do we truly put our trust and reliance upon Him? This is where we glory. If you see anything good in me and in my life, it has absolutely nothing to do with anything I've done or anyone else has done in me, through me, with me. It solely comes down to, if there's anything good in me, it's Jesus Christ. This is where we place our glory. And the more that I know Him, the more that I can put Him into practice, the more I'm going to be both a light to others, but I'm going to be able to put into practice those qualities, those characteristics of God, and I'm going to enjoy the fruits of those things in my life in the forms of victory that they bring, and it's going to be an impact in other people's lives as well. Is this what you want? See, we can keep going through our lives as it is, or we can see there's something better, something different, and strive for those things.